Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Thanks for tuning in to The Screw with Felicia Rose and Ayla. You tuned in to Felicia's pregnant episode.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I guess all of like the last however many weeks have all been pregnant, but we didn't know until now. So hello, I'm pregnant.
And knowing is half the battle. I'm A-Love. Nice to meet you, pregnant.
For anybody listening, no, I'm not keeping it. I'm not a savage. Get out of town.
I'm not going to keep my baby. No, no.
Ooh, I'm going to flush my baby. Oh my God.
If we weren't already so cancelable.
Papa, don't come inside my pussy deep. Papa, don't come.
You better pay the receipt. This is disgusting. Fuck. But it's funny we should go down this avenue.
I was going to say it made me horny, but all right, yeah. Disgusting it is.
Those are just sure the hormones, you know, speaking.
That's not true.
No, fucking no. Vince, I've never been pregnant. Get the fuck out of here. The most that ever happened to me around pregnancy is this girl I was dating when I was like 16. Came over to my house, like, after we had been broken up for, like, way past 9 months and, like, tried to tell me, like, I'm pregnant with your baby. And I was like, look, girl, I love you, and I know your math skills aren't that good, but that's impossible. Bless your heart.
Impossible.
And I'm sure whatever father you'll actually find out it belongs to is going to fucking love that baby perfectly. And it turned out the father was this dude her and I had a three-way with, ironically. Yeah.
Ooh, hot.
I lived a pretty fuck.
Where did the cum go?
Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Pickle surprise. Anyway, so that being said, because you are at the very least a controversial figure and character in the world, and you have been near and dear to my heart, really controversial since I met you. And yeah, I'm trying to squeeze.
I think it's polarizing, because controversial means like. I mean, I guess controversial works, but I feel like polarizing is a great way to say there's plenty of people on my side, right? I'm not one of one, but
sure.
The other side is so far.
I hear you.
From me.
Right. No, but like I'm going to say the reason I chose controversial, because even in within the people that support some of your ideology, the way you go about it, they would probably still find controversial.
Oh, not, okay. Sure.
Not
sure.
So much.
Wait, whatever do you mean, Aaron? Tell me more. What have I done controversially recently?
You know, so like I like to look at the present. I like to look at the past, really. And like, sure. Since I have known you for like a gaping long time, since before you could consume alcohol legally, since
Jesus.
All sorts of things happened since then, but not too different from now in some ways either. So putting that all together, I'd say what I love about, and I'm going to call it your brand of feminism, even though it's not your brand of feminism. It's like the broader new wave, no holds barred, like, you know, not, you know, second wave. Like, this is about not about breaking the glass ceiling. This is about women getting to define their lives however they want and not it having to be somewhere exclusively around their womanhood. You know, that you're an individual of your own right. You're entitled to feel and think things, not just as a woman, but as a human being. And I think that, like, that is something I've always really, you have a very macho way of talking about your, like, feminine. And I don't mean like butch femme. I just mean like this typical like, fuck you, this is what I think about it. This is how I feel. And I've watched, you know, people respond differently to you over the years for that attitude. Like, my mother, for instance, fell in love with that attitude because she thought it was fabulous that you could, like, hold a conversation about anal during gay pride while we were trying to eat lunch. Some other people at the table didn't appreciate it much, didn't understand it, didn't understand, like, how somebody young could be disrespectful to somebody's parent. And, like, my mom is way disgusting. Let's just be real.
Like, yeah, meanwhile, your mom's, like, sharing stories of fisting.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, you know, these things are clearly subjective, but I was called in my head as saying, like, what is, like, so important about, like, the way you talk about things that, like, I enjoy, because it's very, like, it's very dissenting of, like, the way lots of people would handle these discussions. But it's also behaving in a way that doesn't just give lip service to something. If you believe an abortion is a medical procedure removing cells from your body that you don't want, then why not act that way? You know, there's right. there, mm-hmm. and that's for you. I'm not, you know, this isn't a judgment about how anybody else handles their situation. I'm just talking about you specifically, and that this is something mm-hmm. I respect about the way you handle some of these topics, whether it, you know, be sexual abuse or sex work or pregnancy or just like putting up with fucking male bullshit or whatever, any of these numerous experiences females have to go through, you know, right. or women have to go through. And I think, you know, that's the respect that I've kind of like gotten for you over the years. You know, like, you talk about things in a way that's just fucking real, and it's real for you, and it's a very, like, there's a movement in Latin America for sex workers. It's called Soy Puta EK. And like mm-hmm. you know, they are fierce, right? I'm a slut, so what? And what? You want to mm-hmm. fight about it? Like, fuck you. And I've always yeah. loved that, like, even before I knew of that group and that term and that kind of, like, fierceness that, like, a lot of sex workers, like, can hold and fight for, like, I really felt that way about you, that you had, like, this mix of understanding that, like, hey, we're the way we are because of a combination of traumas and experiences that we're having, but I'm allowed to digest that and think about it and behave accordingly to, like, the way I want to about it. So, you know, there you have it. People may not fully appreciate, you know, the shock value of it, but, like, I don't think you're trying to be shocking. I know you. This is how you talk about these things. Like, this is yeah. not a shock value thing. And mixed in it is this idea of, like, I'm going to educate on the process. And I think we've always done that, even when we, like, you know, said, like, the many times we've talked about cleaning your ass. It's not about, like, right. sugarcoating. It's not, like, these are the points where this doesn't necessarily need to be sexy. It just needs to be real because it's about information.
Sure.
You know?
Right. Well, thank you. That was very, it felt like a very nice compliment. I appreciate your appreciation of my ruckusness, if you will. But I will say, not but, there was no but. I will say, you know, the sanitized version of things is great, and it's usually what we get, right? So sure. say you're on my side of feelings when it comes to abortions, and say you are maybe publicly talking about it. It still kind of comes almost with this kind of apology to the public, or an explanation or a reasoning, you know, I'm having an abortion because.
Right. It's shame.
I'm having
shame
an abortion tinge. Because it doesn't fucking yeah. matter.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't. I do not need to watch. Like, when I taught, I spoke to four doctors in the same day, either in person or telehealth, and not once did I explain why I was having an abortion. And nobody asked. It was nobody's business. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Nobody asks. But for some reason, we feel the need, whether it's us talking to a doctor directly or if it's us posting publicly that we're doing this thing or we've done this thing. It's usually after, right? I think this is one of those weirder cases where I haven't seen anybody talk about the lead up to their abortion. They usually do it first and then discuss it if they're going to discuss it. And when they do discuss it, it comes with, this is why I did it. I did it because I'm really broke and it's not the right time in my life and it wouldn't be right to blah, 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 blah. And I also have a predisposition of gestational diabetes and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but what? It doesn't matter why you're doing it.
I mean, how
what matters is talking about the fact that you're doing it and you are doing it and allowed to do it. And everybody should be allowed to do it in this country and world. And it is a basic human right. It is a basic healthcare right. And it is a basic procedure that doesn't have to be a big fucking deal. I personally know that it is going to be painful. I am going to throw up and I am going to have to be out of work. So I made an Amazon wish list and I posted that in lieu of a baby shower. Now, have I been laughing a little bit here and there? Yes, because I'm laughing at myself because I'm funny. I find myself funny in the way that I carry. Is the topic funny? No, the topic sucks. And guess how I deal with sucky shit? I make jokes, but none of it's really a joke in the long run.
Yeah.
Yes. I made a joke. I showed a Cadbury cream egg because I had one in my fridge and I had just taken my pregnancy test. So I know me too. So like I went to go make a TikTok and I'm like, cream egg? No, cream pie here. And I laughed at it. And people are like, how are you laughing at the fact that you're a boy? And it's like, do you not get through trauma with laughter? You might not, okay, but most people do.
And
I'm not even going through trauma. I'm going through something that like is just taboo to you. To me, this is literally, aside from literally throwing up, is the only thing that I'm super fucking bummed about in this situation. I don't want to go through the process because, yes, I have to be out of work. I have to feel like shit. I have to bleed a lot.
Sure.
But my number one issue with this whole thing is I have to throw up. That is the only thing I care that much about. And guess what? That's my personal feeling. That is how I feel personally. And if you can't handle that, what does that say about you and your understanding of the human condition? You should be able to handle that people are going to feel different ways about different things that they have to deal with. The same way somebody might be like, you know, I had to get a finger amputated, but at the end of the day, I was better off in the long run and I'm so happy. And somebody else might get their finger amputated and go through a severe depression for the rest of their life because they don't feel whole anymore. It is not up to you to decide how somebody's supposed to feel after a procedure.
And here's the thing, like, most of this is because people think of pregnancy like getting an STI. Like, I have a positive pregnancy and I need a procedure done that I'm like feeling ashamed about because like somewhere in this idea that I tested positive for pregnancy is like a whole list of like societal like morality and opinions about what that means. Right. And the same way of getting an STI. What does it mean? Well, I don't know, but let me tell you the real tea on it. The numbers of people getting them are really fucking high. So whatever your moral value is around it isn't like, you're in good company, so just shut up about it. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Like, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, are we aiming to? No, maybe if you're a bug chaser, that's fine. But I mean, it's not fine. I mean, no, it is fine because it's your thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My point is that, like, you know,
it's a thing you should think about for a minute or two.
Yeah,
let me just have that comment.
Well, because there can be serious repercussions to it. The same way there can be serious repercussions to giving birth.
Yeah,
it's the same
having
it's
a kid.
It's
the most serious repercussion I can think of.
Exactly. It's not ideal to handle if you're not trying to handle it, is my point. If you don't want the thing, it's not wonderful to deal with, but it's also just like a basic part of life.
Absolutely.
You know, like most unless you're not having vaginal sex, most people are going to deal with pregnancy at some point in their lives.
You don't want you don't want that syphilis like cells in your body. So you get a shot in your ass that hurts and might make you nauseous. Like these are cells in your body you also don't want. Like,
I think it's really funny that the one time I was called and somebody was like, I think you gave me chlamydia. And I went to the doctors and they walked in and they were like, the good news is you don't have chlamydia. And the great news is you're pregnant. And I was like, God damn it. And that was like 12 years ago. So I was due. Also, let me just say this. Holy fertile fucking myrtle. I didn't have sex for forever. I started having sex again in January. Every month since January, I took Plan B, when I was fucking during ovulation time. And then the 1 month that I don't fucking take the plan B and I was like, no, I think I'm okay. I get fucking, how am I fertile after 3 rounds of plan fucking B?
It's Murphy's
I'm
Law.
I'm 37 years old. I'm 37 years old. I smoke so much fucking weed. I'm so unhealthy. There's absolutely no reason a fucking living thing should be viable inside of that inhospitable,
you know, I,
fucking it's, Sarlacc pit.
That means,
okay, the great pit of Carcoon should not be birthing things. It should be killing things. And somehow that fucker stuck in hot.
Right.
All I'll say is Greek Greg's got that super sperm, and I've got those super eggs, because that's some fertility shit right there.
Well, and it's a testament to how punk rock your fucking, like, cells are when they're connected. That they're like, this is cool, let's mosh, man. It's a fucking mess in here, but this is exactly what I, you know. It's like those fucking dudes that go to, like, you know, live with four of their bandmates, and you're like, I don't know how anybody lives like this. And they wouldn't live any fucking other way. They're like, no, well, this is the life, man.
You're totally right. The baby's like, I'm super punk, and mommy's like, live fast, die young, baby. Nothing's better than...
Oh, my God. We may get arrested for this podcast at this point.
Pre-second term death? That is living fast and dying young.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, it's better than waiting... for that post-pregnancy abortions that apparently are all the rage.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah. There's nothing worse than having an abortion in, like, your 18th month of life.
I remind people somewhere like around 800,000 kids go missing a year in this country. Maybe that's where you should focus your concern on. Those are the ones that were born. So, you know, we have a very, like, twisted sense of, like justice in this country. Like, you can't even take care of the ones that have already happened. Why are you such fierce advocates for more being had and disappeared? Like,
yeah.
I mean, and now...
Aaron, how are they going to keep their pedophile rings afloat? Get out of here.
Oh, wow, well said. You know, who was recently trying to say that? Oh, George Soros, who was Santos, your lovely Long Island fucking beefcake.
Con man.
Yeah. 7 years he was sentenced today. And, you know, one of the things he had said was like, you know, the DOJ is just a ring of like pedophiles trying to get back at me. And, you know, the interesting thing is this is the first... honest thing I think that person has ever said. And
I was just gonna say
but it also, like, in my head,
finally speaking the truth,
it explains to me why, like, a Republican DOJ went after him is that this guy must have, like, the cabal secrets, like, of, like, the Republican Party and know what really fucking reprehensible shit is going on there, you know?
Yep.
Fuck. Yep. Anyway, hopefully you've already had your coffee or your bagel this morning or your huevos rancheros.
Or your abortion. Honestly, the fact you just said huevos, my morning sickness has been so bad.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I want to die.
I want to die.
It's good. I mean, maybe I'll lose some weight, but I just feel
I
like I'm
fucking
weight. It's
knew
just terrible.
If I told you the thought that just went in through my head a millisecond before you said that, I was about to say, well, look on the good side, you're probably losing some weight. And it came out of your fucking nasty ass fucking mouth first. This is why we do a podcast together, because, like, I'm pretty sure
the
we're
last
disgusting
time I was pregnant,
people.
I did lose weight, but I also didn't know I was pregnant until week 11. I was cutting it close.
You almost had a toilet baby.
Yeah, it was very,
I was
close.
Pregnant and didn't even know it.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, like, something, like, so last week or something, like, apparently somebody, like, found a baby in a dumpster here, which is, like, really horrible because we have all those, like, you know, programs where you can dump them at the fire department and they get right, in a box right. that's like heated and like, I don't know if it has like one of those hamster like a water door. Feeder. Like,
no, they collect the baby like immediately.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't.
It
I
doesn't
didn't
wait there for like a prolonged time. They just wait until the person is off site.
This is the land of manana. You do not know how long that baby might be waiting in that box. If I can tell you how long it takes to make anything happen in this land, love you, New Mexico. True. But like,
did you ever fix your air conditioner from last?
Queen.
I remember we talked about that like 8 podcasts uh-huh. in a row because you were like God. Sweating.
It was so America. Like living in the Southwest during the summer without air. Without the summer. There's like 3 months out of the year it's warm here. Okay. There's, yeah. or I mean cold.
You mean
here.
Cold?
Yeah. And it's not even that cold. You could still have a like 40 degree day mixed with a 75 degree day. So. Yeah. So yeah, that being said, it's been an interesting, you know, journey watching like the world respond to your news and you know, in my wheelhouse, I didn't bat an eye at this. I mean, like, you know,
of course not.
I'm not going to like share all the jokes that I like participated in making in the beginning, but, you know,
you better tell me off fucking off camera,
but it's like, you know, your audience, I know what my friend can handle in the joke thing. And like, look, it's, you know, whenever you have anybody going through, and look, I'm real fucking social construct, morality neutral on a lot of subjects because I just don't think mm-hmm. these are the important things of the world to be obsessed with while, like again, like 800,000 children are missing every year. Like, okay. I think you should pay attention to that instead. No offense. Mm-hmm. You've got signs up, like, spending all day harassing, like, people that have, like, you know, shit to do, and that's why they're here trying to survive. So, like, maybe fuck off on that for a minute, you know? But that being said, are you doing, like, Prego-themed porn now? Like, isn't that, like, your favorite, like, one of your favorite, like, are you not
yeah,
one of your favorite?
Like, but yes and no, because my tits are huge, but, like, there's nothing else that's, like,
yeah, you don't have a
obvious,
right? Sure,
but it's all tit, but it's tit focused.
Nice, okay.
But like, okay. You know, I'm my pregnant tits because my tits are huge right now, and my nose like glowing. It's like really pretty. They're pretty. They're very, very like. My co-star is very, very obsessed with them, and it's fun to like make content with him right now.
The milk spilleth over.
No, which is funny because I was able to lactate as of like 6 months ago.
Before
and then
you were
that,
pregnant.
Like just slightly, just slightly. Yeah, yeah. No, and like for years, just like from overstimulation. But then that stopped. I think there's like I have like hormonal stuff going on in me. But then that stopped, and I'm like, damn it! Like it would be cool if right now. They were, but I'm going to try to overstim them. I'm going to try to stimulate like, them later and see if I can get it to happen.
Niagara Falls, the money shot is going to happen in the opposite direction at some point.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, so in response to what you were saying as far as like people like responding, you know, of course it's met with like pushback. I ignore that stuff or I just say like, why? I just like question people. I'm like, why do you feel that way? Yeah. And, like, let them talk to themselves, like, make them spin out because I don't have any, like, reaction to them.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I have been with a lot of yous.
A lot of what?
A lot of thank yous. Thank yous.
Oh,
a lot
good.
Of women and men and non-binary individuals have reached out to be, like, it's really nice to just hear somebody talk about it and as it, like, in such a normal way because either I went through an abortion or I witnessed one. And I think there's this expectation for everybody to have these really big feelings of guilt and of feeling like that, you know, they're supposed to feel a certain way.
Sure.
And when we don't, we're like, is this not normal? And I think that me just kind of normalizing it and making it seem like, you know, this again, once again, I'll never say it's an ideal situation to be in because it sucks on your body and hormonally it can impact your brain too, like your mental But at the same time, you know, it is a thing that people have to go through sometimes, and it's just a procedure. And the same way, like, yeah, getting your wisdom teeth taken out sucks, right? It's a procedure that you have, you know, you have to deal with the aftermath of, you have to take care of yourself in different ways. Sure. It's not a walk in the park, but it is just, for me personally, a procedure. And I think me talking about it in that way showed other people that have a uterus that it is okay to feel super neutral about the topic. Mm-hmm. And if you are facing it yourself, it's okay to not have these big, huge feelings beyond like this. Even for me, it's like simple, selfish feelings. Like, I don't want to throw up and I don't want, you know, like things like that. I'm like, ooh, I need to make sure my toilet's nice and clean. Like, it's all like very, what's the word I'm looking for? Shit. It's all just like basic human need stuff that I'm worried about right now, like hydration and like having clean undies, you know. Other people could possibly be worried about, you know, how am I going to feel after I have an abortion? Should I be considering keeping it? That's not me. And I know there's plenty of other people out there that agree and feel exactly the same. And it's not represented a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of the times people are like so over the top with their like, yeah, I had an abortion and it was hilarious and I'm going to, yeah. And it's like, okay, so that's just like stand up comedy, right? Like that's too much. Like, I don't think anybody's like celebrating this annoying procedure you have to go through. Right.
But
the nonchalance to me of something that I have to deal with because I flew too close to the cum. I mean, sun, I mean, cum. You know, I sometimes just, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get an IUD in a couple months once my hormones have kind of rebalanced back out. Cause I will say this for anybody listening that is going to possibly deal with an abortion in the future or have a partner that would, I will say, if they have the chance to have, if it's a in-person suction abortion, like the actual physical procedure, as opposed to the medication, which is what I'm doing this round because I caught it in time. Last time I did the suction abortion, and the huge mistake I made is I let them put an IUD in me at the same time. And so what happened is my body dealt with the hormones of coming down from a pregnancy while also dealing with the hormones of adding an IUD inside of me.
Sure.
So between that and the pain that my body went through, you suctioned out a viable pregnancy and you put inside an IUD. So two different parts of me now were in pain all at once while I was healing.
Yeah.
It was fucking awful. Yeah. Don't do it. And I even taught the girl I spoke to on the line at Planned Parenthood once she knew I was making jokes, she made jokes with me and I loved it. She was like, so how many living children do you have? And she didn't say it laughing, but I go, She goes, I know it's such a weird way to have to word it, but we have to. And I was like, oh, you're great. Cause like we had a really good laugh about that. But anyways, I told her, she was like, are you going to do birth control in the future? Just out of curiosity. And I was like, I'm going to get an IUD, but not till my hormones come down. And I told her about my experience. She was like, yep. I was going to say, do not get an IUD anytime close to an abortion. Yeah. And like that close, I mean, like you really should know your body and like figure out like when it's a good time, you know? But anyways, my point being that the nonchalance of a medical procedure. Mm. Yeah. The how you feel about a medical procedure is your feelings alone. Some people would say getting a breast augmentation isn't worth it. And you may say it is. And guess what? That's your body, your choice. Sure. And when you hear the words, your body, your choice, and you agree with it, what you agree, even the people that are having the abortion just because they fucked up and they don't care. Okay. It's that means their body, their choice for any fucking reason, whether it's because they don't have money, whether it's because children disgust them, whether it's because they're a porn star and they took too many loads to the throat, ass, and pussy that month, whether, you know what I mean? Like, you're not allowed to judge any person's reasoning for it and or how they feel about it. If they're nonchalant as fuck, even if they're celebrating it, you know what? It's their fucking body and it's their fucking choice, and how they feel is how they feel.
Sure.
And that is all that you can have an opinion on, is that they're allowed to feel that way. Right. So that's all I have to say about that. I am not excited about the procedure, but I am very happy to have a good support system. People got me stuff off my wish list that are like, I got like heating blankets from like my married friends and like,
that's beautiful.
I mean, my married friends, with children that are like, yeah, fuck parenthood. I love that.
Love it.
I got, you know, snacks. I got all sorts of stuff that people are like, listen, I support the fact that you're just talking about it before it happens. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting me. And I cannot wait to be without a baby. And I was so nervous because they were like, you can't go swimming for a little while. And I'm going to Myrtle Beach for a bachelorette. And I was like, shit, I need to get. So then I asked the nurse and she was like, no, you by the time you go to Myrtle Beach, you can swim. And I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. See, like, that's what I mean. Like right now, these are the things on my mind. It's when can
it's
I
great.
Stop
hey,
feeling
look,
sick?
I have always thought like this issue becomes like super like convoluted. Any friend that I've ever had over the last many, many years. The first friend I ever brought into an abortion clinic was when I was 16 and like was the only one with the driver's license who could make this happen, you know, without like parents knowing.
Gotcha,
and stuff,
yeah.
You know, yeah. And like, cause yes, I support that. Like if you don't want a kid, your parents don't get to decide that you're going to have one. No, thank
right.
you.
Right.
So, you know, like, and that's always been the simplicity. Like I remember my, cause both of these people for this very early one was like, you know, they're in high school. Like, you know, they're both my friends and they knocked each other up, so to speak, you know? So I was like, look, in my head, the question is simple. Do you want children right now? And
right.
They were both like, no. I'm like, then we're good here. Like sleep,
right.
Rest assured, do whatever you have to do to like deal with like, you know, your post-procedure cramps and like take it easy and support each other, blah, blah, blah. But like making this thing such a huge poetic like thing is like, that's the
it's
pressure of society.
If that's not how you feel.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you want kids and like it's like, oh, I mean, I don't like I didn't think I want kids and now I want kids. Those are all separate questions, but it's a real easy filter.
Sure.
Do you want them? No, then don't have them. Because the last right. thing we need in this world are more people having fucking kids that don't want the fucking kids that they have. And that's a lot of
yeah.
people.
And, well, I will say this. I will say that a lot of people will chime in and say something like, well, you could always give it up for adoption, but I think you just hit the nail on the head. If you talk, you know, I think a lot more people that have been adopted are coming out and just explaining that, like, it's not great.
It's complicated.
It's not a great life always. It can be, sure.
Sure.
But a lot more people are a lot more people are coming forward and saying, you know, if they are saying, my personal opinion is if you have the option to abort versus give up for adoption, I think you should abort.
Right.
I think there's too many, you know, kids out there that just will never see the light of day in terms of love and support
yeah.
and a true setup for success. And I think that there does need to be like a quality of life question.
Sure.
Like just because you don't have a lot of resources doesn't mean you don't deserve to have a child if that's what you want. Sure. But
sure.
if you're just giving this child into the system, there is a quality of life question. Like,
yeah.
how is that helpful
yeah.
to, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that people that have been adopted aren't valid people, but I'm
no.
trying to say like, that's some of the arguments I've heard from people
that
were adopted.
Yeah.
And I never thought
totally.
Of that before. I just thought of like, oh, it's portrayed on,
well,
you know, I don't know a lot of adopted people. It's portrayed in the media that it's great to adopt and that these adopted kids are all so happy and
yeah.
healthy and well-adjusted. And then you hear all these years later, people on TikTok, like, yeah, I was adopted and I want to die every day. And or, well, Jesus Christ, you know. So it's,
yeah, I mean,
it's just a conversation to have with yourself. But
absolutely.
If you don't believe in actual abortion, but you also, I don't know, like maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
I think you're right on the money, though. I mean, I don't think it's a controversial thing to suggest. I think that there is, like, you know, bodies of evidence, at least especially anecdotally, of, like, knowing people who have been adopted who really struggle with, like, a lot of fear of abandonment issues because, like, even though they were adopted, they have this, like, you know, underlying thing that their primary, like, thing that put them into existence ultimately let them go as well. And like, you know, I
right.
get it. I think it's, you know, I think as somebody that didn't go through that, it's very hard to even like, you know, rationalize that in my head of what that feels like or understand it, you know, but like I empathize that there are lots of ways to feel about things, especially that. And like, I don't really support the whole, like, oh, you should be thankful somebody adopted you philosophy too. It was like, wait,
right,
I should be thankful, A, that I was let come into existence, let go, and then like, hopefully, like that I was put into the lottery. Yeah. I should be thankful for that. You know, if I don't spend
money
on
Well, and let's not talk about the fucking nightmare that is the foster care system, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. Like, you know,
you should always assume when you're giving a child up for adoption, unless you have somebody lined up, you should always assume that they're going to be in foster care for an extended amount of time. Yeah. You know,
and
like,
they're gonna get
the assumption should be there,
and they're gonna get fucked. And those are the two questions, like I say very bluntly: A, do you want kids? And B, are you gonna make sure your kids don't get fucked? Like, not to be harsh, but like, that is your responsibility once you go past this, like, having a kid thing. Because I'm sitting out here in the world dealing with people's sexuality a lot, having a lot of conversations. The kids are getting fucked, folks. So you're not doing your fucking job. Not to be a bitter asshole.
Like, do you mean like raped, or do you mean like fucked in general?
No, I mean raped. I mean diddled. I mean exploited.
Well,
I mean,
let's change the terminology then to raped.
Well, no, right? Yeah, sure. Yes,
it's, I was like, wait, what are we talking about?
It's
no,
for
they're getting raped. You're right. They're
it's for emphasis,
raped,
like in a nasty way, but like that is, you know, we don't like.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we have a cognitive dissonance when we say things like rape, because we're like also like, they're talking about that again. Kids get abused. Yeah, they do. They get fucked all the time. They get raped. It is bad. We know it. The stats are there. I'm sorry. Like, if you want to put your head in the sand with it, fine. But you know what that means? Heterosexual parents, you done be fucking up again and again and again because you ain't paying attention. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if you're the one doing it. But, like, this is the fucked up world we live in. Welcome to. Like, it's, you know. And these are the things where I'm like, people, just do a hypocrisy check when you're like speaking out online or saying like just and I'm not saying like one opinion makes another invalid if you have it. I'm just saying like we're all very heavy-handed about our judgments of people and the way we think about things, and we never like rationalize it out and say, oh, you know, from where I'm sitting, things aren't very good either. You know, your family value stance has also failed people. So like,
yeah, and it all boils down to one thing. Wherever you fall, everybody should have the right to choose, period.
Amen.
Bodily autonomy across the board. You want to give it up for adoption? You do, you boo. You want to keep it? You do, you boo. You want to abort it? You do, you boo. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
Yeah.
That is the point at the end of the day, and how you feel about anybody else's choice is your fucking opinion, and it's not their business.
Absolutely.
Period.
Because
how you feel about me is not my business, baby. Right. And I take to bed absolutely none of it.
You know, and I think this is like really body autonomy is like, it is the most like, it's the thing we should be fighting for the most, especially as queer folks in general, because it affects all of us. Like how you get to experience your pleasure, what you get to do with your body, how you get to identify, how you get to feel.
Well, and I will add bodily autonomy also includes your emotions,
absolutely,
how you feel.
Absolutely.
So how I feel about my body,
you're entitled
how I feel.
Right. You can't take.
And that's exactly right.
You can't take that away. And I mean, we're sitting in the world where it's like, oh, my opinion is such. And it's like, don't do that. don't do that, because your opinion is never going to weigh more than somebody else's feelings about their experience. Like, learn locus of control. You check yourself and check yourself every day. And if you feel like you're living righteously to the thoughts that are in your head, good for you. But that stays at your fucking doorstep, because like subjectively the world is, and people get to feel all sorts of different ways about things. There are all sorts of things I don't like that people do in the course of a day, and I don't hip check them and clock them every time I fucking see it, because like we do live in a world of pretty like poor behaviored people in general. So like, you know, and I'm not saying like we're certainly, I don't want to say we're living in a time where you should let like fucking racism and unbridled like oppression go unchecked. I'm talking about stupid opinions about the way people live their life. You know, you should definitely be checking people you hear doing and saying stupid shit right now, for sure. It's all we have left against the madness that is. So,
amen.
Amen. Wow.
A woman.
I don't think there's a lot of transition and topic we could do after this.
Nah, we're good.
I think we're good, right? Like, it's been said, and it needed to be said, you know? It's a your companion light to whatever. You know, this subject doesn't change throughout the life course just because the outside world is all in a bundle about it. Like, hopefully you're, like, fortunate enough to live in places that still, like, support, like, women affirming care and abortion and things like that, you know. I, you know, that's all I can hope for right now. But everything else is a white noise of society right now. Fucking get it done.
Get it done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning into my pregnancy episode. I hope to never have another one of these again. And IUDs now last 8 years, so I should be all set. And if not, then I'll get another one after 8 years.
Yeah, carry that shit on into menopause, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Love that. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're done. Okay. So, we love you. Bye.
Bye.